want a nickname.
Well, you have a couple nicknames, Wendy,
not
but I would
air.
Be uncomfortable saying them in front of the radio listeners. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. The reason we're playing Rocket Man is our president has decided that that will be the nickname that he has bestowed upon Kim Jong-un, the dictator that runs North Korea.
And, I mean, he's been calling him Rocket Man on his Twitter feed, but in an address to the American public, I don't know.
No, no, you've said that twice now. That was an address to the world.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I mean,
thank you for correcting me.
It's the UN. Yeah. That's that gets
true.
That gets world coverage.
But he's our American president, and yeah. When he's in front of people, I guess Twitter's in front of people too. I don't really know what to say other than listening to him. It sounds like, wow, he's got this under control. A couple of things I'm not crazy about, but he's got this whole situation under control. But then what's going to happen later? It's like you can say one thing, but your actions speak louder than your words, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. So I'm trying to figure out what he has to gain in calling Kim Jong-un Rocket Man. Is he trying to inflame him a little bit? Is he trying to say to anybody listening, the world, look, I'm just a regular guy, and when there's somebody there who does something, what's wrong with me tossing a nickname on them? Well, I don't know what his goal is in doing that. If you're Kim Jong-un and you hear this, does that upset you a little more?
Yes.
Does that bring a smile to your face? What does that do?
Well, how does Elton John feel?
I ask myself that question every day, no matter what happens in the news.
What would Elton John
what
do?
What is Elton John thinking
nice
about this? Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, it's one of those rare instances, Wendy, where the president shows us that he's not cut from the same cloth as the rest of the men who have been president of the United States.
Yep.
I don't know. I didn't get to hear the whole speech, but what I heard...
Oh, I heard every second of
it. Did you hear
the
every
car,
second
yeah.
of it?
It's all posted at WGNradio.com.
Oh,
if
perfect.
You'd like to go back and listen.
Perfect. Steve, let me pose the same question to you. When Donald Trump says, I'm going to refer to Kim Jong-un as Rocket Man in my speech to the U.N., his goal is what?
I don't know. Is it to demean the guy?
I think so.
Because clearly Un reacts to provocation like that. I mean, is it to provoke him? Is he trying to provoke him? I hope not.
It's too serious a situation to use a name like that.
It is. But then when Kim Jong-un says, I don't care what Pumpkinhead says. I can do whatever I want. Does Donald Trump get angry because he called him Pumpkinhead? What?
Yeah, I'm
what's
sure.
The start and the
it's
end
name
of
calling. We're back on the playground in second grade.
I know.
Right. Well, we're used to it from third rate regimes like North Korea. That's the difference.
Yeah. Right. Right. So what next? Does one of them hold the other one's head with the palm of his hand while the other one swings and tries to punch the other one? Is that the next move?
I wish it was just that, but there are nuclear weapons
yeah.
involved.
Yeah.
So that's not going to work.
The stakes are a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Just
that's what I mean.
Higher.
It's such a serious situation to whip out a nickname.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that said, I still would like a nickname that's arable.
The ones I have are not arable. There's a couple that are close, but none of them I would be comfortable saying on
I
the
thought
air.
A couple after you just brought that up earlier, but they're not arable either.
No, you can't. No. You just
love
can't.
You too. I really do. As I give you the double
hey,
flip off.
You're on CLTV.
That's
no,
not
we're not.
We're not?
On,
oh, I thought
that's
we're on
why.
CLTV. Why do I dress so nice if we're not on CLTV?
Great question.
This is crazy.
Aren't we on Telemundo?
Yeah, we swung the deal with Telemundo.
Or Nickelodeon?
We're still, I don't know what network it is. We're on some network. Closed circuit TV? I don't know. In office? I don't know.
You're on HGTV 2 hours before it starts at signal day.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Good. That's a start.
It's
that's
like
a
the
good
old,
start.
Like the old scrambled.
So
there... You just summed it up right there.
Yeah. As I'm listening to it, that I kept making that noise, like a very fatherly, I kept making those noises while I was listening to the speech. But here's what you'll get in the next hour or so. You'll get people criticizing the speech, and you'll get people giving him points for sounding more presidential.
The speech sounded great.
It was just the Rocket Man?
There were a few items that were suspect, in my opinion.
Steve, you made a noise I don't usually hear come out of a human. What did that mean?
Well, I don't know how you... I mean, the headline out of the speech is going to be Rocket Man.
Right.
That he did
without
a little
a doubt.
Name-calling and demeaning sort of... And dropping the dignity of the United Nations.
Right.
Or the event. So I don't know how, I think that colors the whole speech.
Do you remember?
I don't think you can say he sounded really presidential except for.
Except that in other similar circumstances, there have been people come to his defense saying, well, this is one of those occasions that the president was the president.
Right.
You know, and we've all questioned it.
Right. Well, I think that Rocket Man will.
Overshadow everything else?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Do you remember a time, because I don't, where a U.S. president has referred to another world leader by a crazy nickname? I can't think of a single instance.
Gorbachev didn't have any nicknames? I guess that weren't made public in a speech.
I'm sure privately, I'm positive privately that you know that it's happened, but I don't remember it happening in a forum as big as a speech to the UN.
Well, other than that.
Other than that, how did you enjoy the show, Mrs. Lincoln?
Mrs. Lincoln? Yeah.
Wow.
Hello.
No, you know what, Steve? Today's the day where we just pause and reflect.
Well,
there are days where you fill it up with words, and there's days where you sit back and go, I don't.
It's like you have the wind knocked out of
you. Well, I'm still digesting it. Does that make sense?
That's fair. Take a few days to digest it. Call us on Thursday.
And I just, you know, wonder what's going to happen to this beautiful earth, as he mentioned. He loves this earth.
Big fan of the earths, as am I. My favorite planet.
Mine too, surprisingly.
Don't get me wrong. Jupiter's got its ups, but I do like Earth the most. Always have, always will.
Always liked Saturn's rings.
Saturn's rings look nice.
But we can't live there.
Right.
The reason I pause is because I want to say, well, it's either good news or bad news, but at least, you know, the rapture may be coming.
Well, listen to this, Wendy, because, you know, you've met Kevin, our producer,
yes.
Right? Our producer currently. He only has a week from tomorrow is Kevin's last day. If you're finding this out for the first time, we're sad to inform you that Kevin is moving on. He's moving to California. We'll give his address later.
You can send him a little homecoming gift.
So Kevin's anniversary, his one-year anniversary is Saturday. Which
you are doing everything at once.
It's the worst. It's too much.
Normally you'd say, isn't this exciting? Our first anniversary is Saturday. But Kevin, what is also happening on Saturday?
Apparently the end of the world.
The end of the world.
So that means I don't have to buy her a gift.
You found a very negative situation.
Not even the end of the world, Kevin.
No, you still have to get a card.
Maybe
you're
right.
Flowers.
Yeah. So yeah, we're going to...
There's a story on the internet today that you have in front of you about how this Saturday, according to some... the world will come to an end.
Well, they've said that before.
Many times before.
Most recently, last August 2016.
And we're thrilled to announce.
Are we?
They have been wrong every time. Yes, I'm thrilled.
I am too. There's a lot of debunking and a lot of crazy rhetoric. Can we take a break and discuss this?
Yeah, we'll discuss Saturday, which some are saying will be the end of the world. If it didn't happen after the Cubs won the World Series, it's not going to happen in our lifetime. So don't panic, anybody. Just stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's the end of the world as we
know it. It's the end of the world. Did Michael Stipe know something when he sang this song in the 80s?
Very possible, Wendy. He's a very smart man.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And this story's been all over the internet. And what scared me was it was sent to us by one Ryan Burrow.
Oh, from our newsroom.
Right. So that scares me. Like, does he believe it? I wanted to have a little conversation with him. But there have been conspiracy theories. And here's what's going on. David Mead is a guy who wrote a book called Planet X, The 2017 Arrival. David Mead claims that on September 23rd of this year, the Saturday, Planet X, also known as Nibiru, will crash into Earth, changing the world as we know it.
That would be true.
Wouldn't they be picking up on that by now? Like, wouldn't it be on our radars somewhere?
Well, yes, and that's what we'll figure out at the end.
Like, they knew the hurricanes were coming, so they would certainly be able to also, the same technology could be used to know if a planet were about to hurl itself into ours.
Well, Steve Grzanich, who is all about space,
yes,
says that if this were true, that we would be able to see the planet by now.
Oh.
Well, I believe Steve Grzanich.
What?
Yeah.
I do.
Wendy, think about what you just said.
Mead's claim gained popularity.
I can't say it. I try to say it.
David Mead's claim gained popularity from this bizarre 4-minute YouTube video that includes a 7-headed dragon.
The worst.
A prediction of a heavenly sign over Jerusalem and a depiction of the supposed rapture. The video is called, check this out, this is a very creative title, September 23rd, 2017, You Need to See This.
Oh, that is a great title.
Already over 2 million views.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meade's claims are rooted in Christianity, he said, because September 23rd is 33 days after the total solar eclipse that we just had.
All right.
Jesus lived for 33 years.
Yeah.
The name Elohim, which is the name of God to the Jews, was mentioned 33 times in the Bible. This is what he's telling the Washington Post. He says it's a very significant numerology, significant number. I'm talking astronomy, I'm talking the Bible, and I'm merging the two. Now, religious news site Christianity Today says that this is making Christians look silly.
I would say only the Christians that believed in this. Although, let's wait until after Saturday and we'll determine who is and isn't silly.
What do these guys do? Because I feel like one of these comes up every year. I mean, do they lose followers?
No, they always, like, in the past, what's happened, because I interviewed a guy before you joined the station, I talked to a guy who was adamant that there was a day coming up that would be the end of days. That's over. And then I said, can I call you after Wednesday after it doesn't happen? Absolutely call me, but there's not going to be phone service because the world is going to be gone. And then when we called him, he refused to pick up the phone.
Smart guy.
Right. Because you have to backpedal, like, when you make a prediction that bold. Like, you can pick the Rams over the Chargers by 6. And
right.
If you're wrong, you go, I thought there'd be more offense, but they weren't running the ball as much as I thought. But when you say the whole world's going to end, that you need to backpedal huge.
Well, sometimes, though, I found, Bill, that people who are true believers in things like this, that they won't be sort of dissuaded by the fact that it didn't happen. They're like, well, we did this wrong, but it's going to be happening next time.
Oh, yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah. They
like
just
they
put
refused
it off.
To say, well, that was a boneheaded belief.
Right. You never hear that.
Like,
they always go,
was wrong.
I made one wrong calculation, but look out next Thursday. That's the day.
Well, the executive director of the Billy Graham Center at Wheaton College, Ed Stetzer, says the Bible is clear in Matthew 24:36. That Jesus is going to return as he promised, but no one except God the Father knows when. Therefore, trying to use our finite earthly means to speculate is quite frankly a waste of time. And this is not the first end of the world theory to go viral. It's not even the first time that claims the planet Nibiru will crash into Earth have been spread around. Snopes.com reported a fake story that the Earth would end in a similar fashion on August 21st, 2016.
That didn't happen. Right.
And NASA, this is why Steve Grzanich is getting involved, NASA debunked the claim of Nibiru's existence years ago, writing there is no factual basis for these claims. So I feel 100% safe.
The only one I put stock in is Stephen Hawking, because for my money, that's the world's smartest guy.
Wasn't he the one who was talking about Y2K or no?
No.
Okay.
I don't think he did. I don't remember hearing anything from Stephen Hawking, but he said very recently, we don't have anywhere near as much time on the planet as people think. And he had all kinds of models to prove. And pretty much everything Stephen Hawking has said in the past has come to fruition.
But that's not a planet coming in and crashing into the Earth and destroying.
He's just saying, you know, we're destroying ourselves and we need to have a plan B and we need to come up with it quick.
Larry has a great question. Hi, Larry.
So, good morning. I was wondering, with this end of days thing, what do you think the little grays and little blue men up in the spaceships think? Is it going to be the end of days for them, too?
I think just our planet and the planet that collides with us. Everybody else should be okay.
So they get a bird's eye view of the magnificent explosion.
Yeah, it'll be their eclipse.
So they'll be flying around up there looking at us being ended.
Yep. That's what we have to look forward to, and that's Saturday. So if you have anything major to do, Larry, pick up dry cleaning on Friday or something.
And don't send in your credit card payments.
No.
Thank
Waste
you, Larry.
The money.
So September 23rd, 2017.
Kevin's first and last anniversary.
That would be so tragic.
It's been a good year.
What a positive outlook.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Yeah, it's been a good year. If Nibiru, or what is it?
I don't know how you say
planet?
It. Nibiru.
Yeah. Nibiru.
Wasn't that your wood elf's name?
I was saying this was actually a lot of it with the seven-headed dragon sounding very familiar to me.
What game is that? Magic the Gathering?
There's that. There's Dungeons and Dragons. There's Skyrim. Yeah, I can go on for a while.
You surprised he made it a year?
A little bit. A little bit. Why, in somebody's head, as they're creating this scenario for the world to end, why would the dragon need to have 700 heads?
Seven.
Oh,
only
seven.
Seven
heads? Okay.
700 would be ludicrous.
That would be ridiculous. Where would you buy your shirts? It'd be impossible. Seven, I can see. That's much more doable.
There are seven sacred sins. There's some seven number there.
Numbers always play into it. You kept mentioning the number 33. Anytime anybody has this theory, they always talk about the reoccurrence of a certain number or numbers. But they did that last year when the Cubs were in the playoffs and about to win the World Series. They were
108 was the number,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Stitches in a baseball. Yep. There were tons of things.
No seven-headed dragon.
I don't remember that. It was a lot to take in. There could have been, but I don't remember that at all. All right.
Good luck to all of you.
Yeah, good luck to all of you. Rich Coase will join us later on, Wendy.
Speaking of a seven-headed dragon.
Now, Rich is known as the friend to Svengoolie. He's Svengoolie's best friend. He's our good friend, and he's coming on because we have an announcement to make that's gigantic. He is having the highest honor bestowed upon him that a civilian can possibly have.
This has been a dream of ours.
Oh, huge dream. He's actually having it happen, and it's taking place soon. We'll explain exactly what we're talking about at 11 o'clock, so stick around for that and a lot more. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
You're awesome, Steve. We missed you yesterday. Were you here yesterday?
No, Steve was not here yesterday. Miss him.
Thank you very
much,
Bill.
And in your stead, we did no news. We just wouldn't allow any news.
We boycotted.
I have two sad things to announce. Thing number one, but each of them equally as sad, but for different reasons. I just found out moments ago that a Chicago celebrity has passed away.
Oh, no.
And it is Pretty Bobby Heenan. Do you know who that is, Wendy?
WWF guy. What was his, don't tell me his nickname.
Well, his nickname was Pretty. It wasn't his
real
name.
Oh, that was?
Yeah, it wasn't his real name.
I thought he had the hangman, wasn't it?
He had a hangnail for a while. Oh, he got disbarred because of that. They wouldn't let him wrestle because he had a horrible hangnail situation.
Pretty's nickname was Bobby.
Right. His birth name was Pretty Heenan, but the kids called him Bobby. And it
stuck.
That was his
Bobby
nickname.
Bobby the Brain. So he proved, he was the first of the wrestlers to prove that you could have both brains and also be pretty. Because he was, look at him, very pretty.
According to his mom.
I think I met him as a child.
You know, WWF was pretty big. It was on, what, Channel 44
on
or
Sunday
something?
Sunday afternoons. Yeah.
Did Lynn Burton do any ring announcing?
I don't think he did ring announcing, but it's possible he did some of the commercial work.
But my dad used to watch it. There wasn't a lot to watch.
That was the whole thing. There wasn't anything else on.
Yeah.
I think everybody's dad on a Sunday would watch roller derby and wrestling. And all I kept thinking is, I wish I owned the company that made the chairs for wrestling, because there was never a match where somebody didn't hit somebody else with a folding chair. That was just part of it. I was disappointed once. The match was almost over and nobody got hit with a folding chair. And I just said, this is off. And then at the last second, somebody did.
You're bringing back some memories.
I only hope when they lay Pretty Bobby Heenan to rest that they don't use folding chairs at the service, because one of his former coworkers will hit another one with a folding chair. So if they use me as a consultant.
Vic, you want to jump in on this terrible news?
Yeah, very deep sorrow. Hey, Bill, it's gorgeous Bobby Heenan, not pretty. It was gorgeous Bobby Heenan.
Did he get upgraded to gorgeous? I thought it was pretty.
No, it was gorgeous. It was gorgeous.
It was.
You know, I grew up with the Bob Luce days. It was gorgeous Bobby Heenan.
Now, remind me, Bob Luce was the fight the wrestling promoter, right? It was all his...
Yeah, Ben's Auto Sales, Bob Luce.
Yeah, Bob Luce Wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I apologize.
Bobby Heenan. He was the manager of Blackjacks, Blackjack Lanza, Blackjack Mulligan, you know.
So sorry for your loss, Vic.
Yeah, you know, it's very deeply sad, you know.
It is. It's a sad day. All right, thank you very much.
Gorgeous, pretty, what's the difference?
At my house, now I'm reading the obituary to see if he's mentioned as both pretty and gorgeous. We always called him, and rightfully so, we called him Pretty Bobby Heenan. I don't know why... We were allowed to use the word gorgeous when I was growing up. I don't know why we wouldn't have called him gorgeous Bobby Heenan.
Wasn't there a there Gorgeous George?
Yeah, Gorgeous George was a wrestler.
You wouldn't have two gorgeous guys wrestling.
No, not wrestling. Not back then. Today, maybe. I don't know. Now, here he's referred to in this obit as Pretty Boy. So that would almost lend itself to my... And then who's this guy? He fought against Dick the Bruiser.
Oh, yeah, I remember
him. Although everybody
him.
Called him Dick the Bruiser, I thought. But I guess if you're writing it out in an obituary, you want to say his friend Dick the Bruiser and make it sound more
Was
formal.
He Italian? Dick the Bruiser?
Dick the, very Chicagoan.
Okay.
Dick the Bruiser. And then also, they also mention his friend Gorilla Monsoon. That I know wasn't his name at birth, Wendy. I know that was a nickname. And who else? Oh, Ray the Crippler Stevens. I don't think you'd get that nickname by today's standards, I don't think.
I remember The Undertaker.
Yeah. Well,
God, you are so bringing back memories.
And we didn't want, like my brother and I didn't want to watch it. We wanted to do other things,
right.
But my dad would force us.
Hey,
no,
boys,
no, no.
Take a look at this.
You're going to watch this. And then if my brother and I would fight, my dad would get furious. And my brother and I would go, you're watching fighting all day. We're fighting. Watch us fight. Where's the folding chair?
Right. You're lucky you didn't have any. You couldn't find it in your shag carpeting.
Nope, got lost.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, what's up? Hey, it was always Pretty Boy Bobby Heenan, not just Pretty. Oh.
Pretty Boy
gorgeous.
Bobby Heenan.
That sounds better.
Yeah.
Pretty.
And
just...
then he became the brain.
And why was Bobby that?
He took some night classes.
Because he became a manager.
Oh, that all makes sense now. Well, we're sorry
what
for...
About,
oh, what about who, Kevin?
Moose Cholak.
I remember
no
him.
Mention of Moose Cholak at all in this obituary. But yeah, he was a big wrestling a wrestler.
How was
he used to own a bar on the east side.
Did he? Cholak's?
Yeah. I don't know what it was called, but I remember that.
Sitting Cholak's.
Yeah.
How old was Pretty Boy Bobby Heenan?
He was 72.
Poor guy.
Yep.
Thank you, Kevin, for calling.
Now, they show him in his obituary photo wearing what the wrestlers normally wore, which is a very sparkly tuxedo. Not in the ring. In the ring, they would wear...
A unitard.
Yeah, almost like an American version of what a sumo wrestler would wear.
Right.
But whenever they weren't fighting, their wardrobe consisted mostly of very spangly-looking tuxedos.
And now Pete McMurray owns all those jackets.
Right. He somehow became the beneficiary of all those outfits. I don't know how.
Looks good on him.
It looks good. And then the other, I said there were two bits of sad news. Not just that Bobby Heenan has passed away, but remember a week ago I said, I can't believe that this could ever happen, but it looks like it's going to happen. Toys R Us did today announce that they are filing for bankruptcy protection. What? How could that be? They were the number one toy seller forever, for our entire lives. How did things go horribly wrong?
And they withstood the test of time because all the other toy stores went under.
Right.
And Toys R Us was the last toy store standing.
KB Toys went down. Circus World went down. Toys by Rizzi went down. They all went down. They fell horribly.
Toys by Rizzi, I just know there was one at North Riverside. Did you work at one?
I worked at the one in Lincoln Mall for 2.5 years.
I wish I would have shopped there. We could have met each other earlier. They just had a lot of neon-colored big stuffed animals. They were very bright.
Yeah, they did.
A lot of pink.
Yeah.
Giant snake on top of the...
There was, well, up above on the roof at Toys by Rizzi's, they had all these stuffed animals always suspended from the roof.
But they were giant.
Yeah, gigantic. Yeah. You name the stuffed animal, there was a giant version of it.
Wonder why they went under.
I don't know. Maybe they should have diversified a little bit and had other things. And they did. They had some games and they had...
Not much, though.
No, not enough, unfortunately. But Toys R Us, it says here, as of this moment, they find themselves $5 billion in debt. What are they doing wrong? People always need toys.
Well, you can get your toys at Target, at Walmart. A lot of the electronics that you could only get at a toy store for a while, you can get at Best Buy. And,
but are the prices that... Oh, so you're saying as long as you're already in Walmart or Target...
You'll just get it
swing
there.
Swing by the toy department.
And Toys R Us has been kind of expensive. They have sales, they have coupons, they have flyers. But to me, although we bought a lot of the kids' bikes at Toys R Us...
Yeah.
And... You know, tricycles and things like that.
And then for $10 extra, they would build it for you. That's handy. But I'm shocked by this because I always thought that's one of those businesses. Toys R Us will be there for the rest of time.
I kind of thought
that
too.
How could they go wrong? And I'm not saying they can't get out of it, but anytime you find yourself $5 billion in debt.
That's a lot.
That's a big hole to crawl out of.
What will Jeffrey do?
I don't know what Jeffrey will do. I have no, that's my concern.
Bargain Town, Bargain Town, Bargain Town.
Yes.
Says 708.
Yes. Their original name was Bargain Town, Bargain Town, Bargain Town. With a man with a very thin face and a wardrobe consisting of red and white stripes.
I remember that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, you're bringing me back to my childhood today.
That's why I'm here. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then Bridget Carey joins us from CNET. So stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bridget Carey, senior editor at CNET, CNET.com. Hi, Bridget. Welcome to our Tech Tuesday this week.
Well, thank you. This is a very gadget-heavy week, I would say, in the tech world. Everyone's talking today about the new iPhone 8 and 8 Plus reviews are out, including ours.
And you did not get one, correct? You were going to wait and see if there were any...
Me? Yeah. Like, I mean, I have a 7 that's doing just fine. This is kind of like the middle child of all the iPhones right now. I mean, Apple is going to have a big splashy 10 version that will look a lot different. That'll come in October. And so if you really, really want something that's going to look different, you know, why not wait if you're not suffering and just see everything there is to offer? I think true fans want to have the best to look different, and they're going to wait. But they would be waiting for a while because they're, you know, it could be hard to get that new one. It could be in short supply by the holidays.
Innovation-wise, Bridget, what are we looking at that's different on this phone from the others?
Oh, the 8 and 8 Plus, this is all about the camera. I mean, our phones, you can pick up anything to go get on Facebook, right? You know, but now it's all about the camera. And so if you spend more on the bigger one, that's the Plus, it has two cameras, and you can do some effects like being able to do, take a photo of someone, and after the fact, you can change the lighting to, like, cut out their background and make it all black so it looks like it's in a portrait studio.
Nice.
So it's getting a little smarter there. And also, it has some augmented reality effects, things where you're taking video and putting animated objects on top of it overlaid so it looks like they're sitting there, you know, in your shot. These are the kind of new tricks now that they're using to sell the phones.
Bridget, I've had several people, I've seen this on Facebook a lot in the last couple of weeks. They'll take a picture of a loved one, and then they'll post it, and then they'll make it look as though that person has animal ears and a snout. And I say to myself, we live in the greatest time ever.
That's Snapchat.
Is that Snapchat?
God, you are adorable.
Well, I don't know what the practical purpose of that is, but I've seen so many pictures like that in the last few weeks. And every time I see one, I go, yeah, but he's not a donkey. He's a guy that you put donkey ears on.
Okay, Snapchat was part of Apple's big presentation, too, because that's what gets the kids' attention.
People like that.
What can I do to myself, and what can I show off? Because it's all about showing off, right? When you buy the 8 or the 8 Plus, it's going to look exactly the same from the front as the current one. It still has a button. It looks all the same. What's different is that there's glass on the front and back. If anything, that could make your life more miserable if it's, you know, easy to crack. So you have glass on the back.
Yeah.
And the reason there's glass on the back is because you could do wireless charging. But that means you got to buy an extra thing to put on a pad and put it on the pad just right in the right place. So what time are you saving when you're not plugging it in? I don't know. But now you got a big pad on your table instead of a cord. It's a cool thought. It's cool to think that if you go into a Starbucks, they'll have charging stations you could just pop your phone on. So there's a lot of, like, future cool benefit of going somewhere and having a charging station rather than cords everywhere.
Yeah.
For the time being, your life's not going to change much.
All right, I'm going to do a Snapchat picture of Bill with ears on.
I will sue you if you do that. I've already told an attorney that if this ever happens, to sue Wendy.
How do you... Oh, I'm sorry. This. I know this is radio and I shouldn't be giggling, but you now have a big leafy green afro on. Bridget, he's going to hit me.
I just don't understand why people are so enamored by this.
It's just stupid.
I know, but...
We all, okay, everyone got tired of taking selfies. Now there's selfies with cartoons, and so there'll be something else later and something else later. Well, eventually you won't even recognize yourself, and we'll just like get rid of our faces completely.
I guess.
There's a weird thing where you can speed yourself up, and it makes your face morph a little bit, and I did a crazy video that just cracked me up. I didn't post it, but I looked like one of the Olsen twins. It like smashes your face down. It's just something fun to do. Bill, you got to let yourself go once in a while.
It's all lost on me. I swear every time I'm on Facebook, it's filled with what Wendy just described. And I say, shouldn't we be working on a cure for cancer or something instead of this?
All right. Well, we know what's going on in the world of iPhone this, iPhone that. What about the Android world? And do a lot of people still have Android? They're into the Samsung end of things, correct?
Or into what Google does, which is their new Pixel line. It's like a pure Android experience. No extra fluff from Samsung or others. But Google doesn't actually make the hardware themselves. They kind of work with HTC to make it. And the latest little buzz is that this next Google Pixel 2, which Google is totally teasing right now, so you don't buy an iPhone, they're going to announce it on October 4th, so you can see it then. But some developers went in the code that's out for Android and saw like hints at what this phone could do, and there is code indicating that it will be a phone that will respond to squeezes, like the phone itself can detect the pressure in your hand when you squeeze harder on the sides, as if there was like a button, so to speak.
I have that same feature, by the way, Bridget.
You're like the human Pillsbury Doughboy.
Well, when you poke or squeeze, whatever it is, it'll be able to do something like activate the assistant or set off the camera or whatever you want to set it to do. Now, this is just a trick that already exists in some phones, so we're not too surprised about it.
Yeah.
HTC does these things, but this is what they do to stand apart.
All right, and finally, before we let you go, and you may not have time to answer this, but I know that there was some connection between Amazon Prime and Whole Foods, and I've seen people post things on Facebook, like, look at how much I saved. I went to Whole Foods yesterday, and am I supposed to tell them I'm an Amazon Prime member? How do I get that reduced rate?
Okay, not yet is the answer.
Okay.
So Amazon said they're thinking and working on ways to make it cool that you have Prime, that you'll get a discount at the checkout, but they haven't figured that out yet, and they don't know what went in. I wouldn't even count on that being anytime soon. Right now, they're just really good at, you know, doing these promotions for avocados and apples, but not everything in the store is discounted. It's just a few items here and there.
But that's coming.
Right.
That's coming.
So,
Bridget, can I squeeze in one other quick question? I noticed once every other day or every third day, I get a box that pops up on my computer from a thing called CCleaner that tells me that all I need to do is press one button. But now it turns out they've been hacked. And if you have been hacked by CCleaner, how do you know and what do you do about it?
This pop-up is coming up? I'm so sorry, because that's awful. I guess the one hint is that you're getting pop-ups. It's not good.
Don't click OK.
No, I know not to click on it.
Well, how do you know? You can always tell when something suspicious is going on, and you can always buy, if you really are in the dark, sometimes what I do when I'm in those positions is I'll Google, how do I know if I'm affected? And sometimes there's a way to tell that is laid out in a blog post. But then you can also just download a reputable service like your Symantec, you know, similar things like that, like your typical Norton's, you know, things that are reputable. They tend to do scans. They might not catch everything new, but at least it's better than nothing. It's better than sitting around doing nothing and never knowing and having your computer, you know, be turned into a bot.
Right.
No one wants to be a bot.
No one wants to be a bot.
Shaz bot.
Except Wendy. She doesn't mind. Bridget, thank you so much. Have a good rest of the week, and we'll talk to you a week from today.
Thanks.
If the world doesn't end on September 23rd.
Yeah, the world's been hacked.
Be careful.
Bye, Bridget. Hopefully not for the last time. It's Bridget Carey from CNET. Go to CNET.com. It's right there on your computer. We'll take a quick break, then some news, and then our friend Rich Coes, good friend of Svengoolie, you know, who has a huge honor.
Tight as ticks, I hear.
Tight as ticks. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Calling all stations. stations. Clear the air lanes. Clear all air lanes for the big broadcast.
Oh, this song gets me riled up.
Sure. How could it not? In studio with Wendy and myself right now, our friend Rich Coase. You know him and love him as Svengoolie. And
wait,
then also,
what?
Yeah.
Well, at least
right.
You know me.
Well, right. One of the two is true. I'm not sure which. And Jim Roach, who serves as the alleged executive producer of said show.
Alleged.
Hi, Jim. Nice to see you.
Nice to be seen. Thank you.
All right, this is big news. We saw this all over the presses. When was this? Last week?
Last week, yeah.
The presses?
Everywhere.
Yeah. At the dry cleaner?
Yes.
Hey, look what we got. Okay. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. It was the Svengoolie action figure.
Oh, my God.
And, Bill, you knew more about the way that they produce them and such than I did.
There's a company called Figures. They're based in Florida. Mm-hmm. And what they've done is, back in the 1970s, there was a line of action figures called Mego's World's Greatest
right.
Superheroes that were the best action figures
sure,
of all time.
Yeah.
Figures has picked up the mantle. They've made the ones that they didn't used to make for Mego and recreated some of the old ones. And I was on their website a week ago, and I'm looking through, and they were proud to announce the creation of a Svengoolie action figure that looks exactly like you.
Yeah, they did a great job. We sent them pictures, surprisingly taken by Jim Roach.
What?
Yeah.
And they would send prototype pictures and stuff. At one point, the hair was a little too Wonder Woman, so we had to kind of back them off on it a little bit. But they did a terrific job.
Oh, nailed it. So the process was what? Did they come to you at some point and say, we're fans of yours, we want to immortalize you in action figure form? Did you go to them and say, this is something I've always wanted? What happened?
Well, one of our marketing guys actually deals with them because we have on the MeTV site, they sell like some of the Gilligan's Island type
oh, yeah.
ones and the Batman ones, of course.
Yeah.
I love the Cesar Romero with the little mustache covered
incredible.
Up.
Incredible, yeah.
And they were talking about, well, why couldn't we do a Sven action figure? Because they talked about bobbleheads and things like that. And so the two of them got together and said, well, let's give it a try. And so we did.
Okay, so 1,000 were made, correct?
Yeah, and as Bill told me, since he knows all this stuff, that's usually what they do as the first run of a figure to see how it sells.
Yeah.
And how'd it sell, Rich?
Well, in the first 24 hours or so, they sold half of them. And now they're completely sold out. So in about a week, they're all gone.
Rich, I hope you realize how unprecedented that is, because they put out famous characters like Flash and
right.
you know all these characters you've read about in comics for years and years and years. And a lot of times they'll sell a bunch right off the bat. They'll sell a couple hundred, and then it just kind of lays there for a while. But to sell out 1,000 in a week's time, that just doesn't happen.
It's pretty amazing to me, and it's, you know, pretty much a tribute to the people who watch my show and like what I do.
Yeah.
You know what's going to be great is Mark Hamill is such a fan of yours that he's going to put in his house Luke Skywalker next to Svengoolie.
He probably will, actually.
I know.
He knew about this, cool. right? Didn't he contact you when he found
yeah,
out?
Yeah, he knew about it, yeah. He congratulated me on moving into the realm of being an action figure. So he was.
Did you ever think in your life that this would happen, that a major toy company would say, we need to immortalize you in plastic?
No, I thought it would only be done as a joke and they'd just be one of them. I have to say that a much larger one, complete with packaging, was done for me by, you know, the great artist Alex Ross.
Yeah.
And he did one that's about the size of like a Ken from the Barbies. And it's, of course, completely accurate. And again, a great depiction of me. It looks just like me.
That's incredible.
And, there's only two of them. I have one and he has
yeah.
one.
Okay, so the 1,000 went in what, 2 days? Less than
in
a week.
In a week. The first 500 went in a day.
All right, so this is the big question everyone has. You snooze, you lose. Will there be more?
Yes, they're already talking about it, and we're not sure when, just because, you know, that company makes so many figures, and they've got a production schedule for all these different, they make, you know, wrestlers and
mm-hmm.
TV characters. And
Hanna-Barbera characters.
Yeah, Hanna-Barbera characters.
Hannibal Lecter.
So
Hannibal Lecter.
One of my favorites, by the way. You get the mask as an extra accessory.
Well,
does your coffin come as an accessory?
Not so far, no. People have been asking, you know, well, why is there no coffin? Why is there no little rubber chicken? It's like, you can get little rubber chickens everywhere, folks. Believe me.
Shh, don't tell them that.
But, yeah, they're already trying to work out when they'd be able to get them together, and there definitely will be more. Please do not go on eBay where people are selling them for $100 or more. Because, you know, why waste your money? You're going to be able to get one for the price we've been selling it for. So don't, you know, just be patient.
Yeah. So I shouldn't have gone and bought it.
No, you were the one selling them. Well, what, are you kidding?
Well, you wouldn't autograph them for me.
I know.
Are there Svengoolie comic books?
Not yet, but that's another thing that I've talked with Alex Ross about. And part of the problem is just me having enough time to write it. Because he said he and some of his other artist friends would be more than happy to draw it. So
that
down the
cool.
line, it would be. It would be a lot of
What's
fun.
What's next for you?
What's next? Well, probably a nap. Because I'm very tired.
Svengoolie dirigibles. I think that's
hey, I've gained weight.
Hey, no, come on.
What has been the reaction from family and friends? What do they say?
They're pretty much astounded, just like me. It's pretty amazing. I got two of them, one for me and one for my mom. So.
Yeah, oh, that's perfect.
I want to make sure she gets
but,
that.
All right, so the likeness is dead on. It looks just like you. Dead. I didn't mean dead on, but I didn't work.
You did mean dead on, Bill.
I didn't mean dead on. Wow. And then actually the costume that they've put him in is accurate to what you would wear on the show. It looks really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really nice. I think it's so funny that they actually have the little skeleton pin, but it's not a pin. It's actually printed on the lapel of the character.
Now, figures for a while, this company in Florida, I don't know if this is still an option, but when they first started doing action figures, they had a thing where you could send in pictures of yourself, and then they would create a figure based on your likeness.
Oh,
do they
really?
Still do that? Or is
That I don't know. I don't know if they do that or not. I know that I've seen there are other companies that will do that.
Yeah.
And I always wonder how good the resemblance is, because I'm
varies.
Sure you've seen, like, just like with bobbleheads, you know, you've seen certain ones. Hey, this is supposed to be, and it's like, So it depends on how good the person doing the sculpt is, and, and what process they use.
And going back to the process going in, they were very detailed and very meticulous about getting really detailed pictures of him.
But they did it off of pictures. I'm shocked they didn't send a sculptor out to come out and work with you for a day or two. You would almost think that would have been...
Or like, you know, Martin Landau putting the mask on my face to make the imprint so that they could pour plastic into it.
They're always sending chiselers at you, though.
Yeah, well...
That's different.
Once again, what are you talking about yourself for?
Oh, man.
I ought to
be more careful.
Well, let's take a quick break. Rich Coase is here. You know him and love him as Svengoolie. Jim Roach is here, executive producer of that program. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Left from Wendy Snyder on WGN. Rich Coase is here. He is Svengoolie, and he has an action figure to prove it. Jim Roach is here. He's the executive producer of the show and can't prove it because he does not have an action
figure.
Action figure.
Not
yet.
Nope.
Not yet.
Nope.
Someday.
Someday, Jim.
Nope. If you go to the MeTV.com store, it has the Svengoolie 8-inch action figure. Sold out. To find out when we'll have more Svengoolie action figures, sign up for our newsletter. I just signed up for it.
Very good.
All right. Let us know when you get something.
When you get the newsletter, at least.
Yeah. Can you take some calls?
If I am allowed by you people.
Oh, yes.
Of course.
Because you are controlling this, are you not?
No, your mind is.
Ooh, boy.
Steven.
I better stop thinking what I'm thinking.
Steven.
Hello there.
What's up, Steven?
Oh, I'm doing great. Hey, Sven, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Steven. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Congratulations on the action figure, though. I was one of the few lucky people to have bought one before they all sold out.
Well, that's it. It's funny, because as somebody posted on Twitter, he who hesitates is lost. And it was funny because I did see people posting, you know, I think I'll order one next Friday when I get my paycheck. And I'm sitting there like, oh, no.
Don't wait.
It's going to be gone.
Yeah.
So I got like two really quick questions here if you're more than willing to answer them.
Sure.
All right. So first, concerning the schedule change, not that I'm complaining. Hell, I'd enjoy an earlier time slot to myself. But, you know, at least now you're not competing with Saturday Night Live audience.
No, it's true.
but why the schedule change? What? How did that come about?
Well, there are a bunch of different reasons. One being...
I should point out, Rich, not to interfere, but it's a 7 o'clock start now.
Yeah, correct? 7 o'clock Central time.
Yeah.
And the reason being that in some of the markets that we're in, the stations would run... Our show was supposed to start at 10, but they would have news at 10 o'clock. So they would actually delay it by running the 10 o'clock news, then a half hour of something like Get Smart, and then we wouldn't start until like 11 o'clock, really late. And we were getting a lot of complaints about that. And also, a lot of people with kids were like, my kids can't stay up that late. So management thought, well, and also we get good ratings, so they mm-hmm. thought it would be good to shift it down a little earlier and see how it does there. And so far we're doing pretty good. So
awesome. Quick question. Go ahead, Stephen. We have other callers that are dying to talk to Sven.
Yeah, sure. So name your three favorite guest stars that have appeared. Could be any from Son of Sven to now.
Oh, wow. That's a good thing. Well, back in the Son of Sven days, we had John Pertwee. One of the Doctor Who's, which was very cool. These days, it's like Dana Gould, very funny comedian.
He's so good.
He was on, and he was very funny. Gilbert Gottfried, who actually, you know, we have a lot of outtakes that we couldn't use, but he was very conscious of the fact that we're a family-type show, and he was real nice about kind of, you know, cleaning up the act a little bit.
There you go, Stephen. Congrats on getting the figure and great questions.
Yeah. You guys have a nice day now.
Thanks. Was John Pertwee on because of his motion picture, The House That Dripped Blood? Is that why he was on?
No, actually, he was in town for one of the early Doctor Who conventions.
Oh, was he? Yeah.
And it was funny because he
show off.
Did a big, you know, dramatic thing. I was outside, and he was in the coffin, and he throws the coffin doors open and goes, I am the Doctor. The door hit one of these big fake pillars, which came crashing down, just narrowly missing us. And without missing a beat, he goes, I think that was one of the Master's tricks. He was great.
All right, Dale's on the line. Dale, Sven's here.
Oh, Sven, I love you, brother. You make my Saturday nights great because this is the way I get the house to myself. Nobody else will watch your program with me.
Well, thanks, I think.
That's a huge compliment, Rich.
Hey, I was wondering, Sven, after the action figures and stuff are done, is there any possibility we could see a Sven Rock'em Sock'em Robot collection or anything like that?
That may be a little too technical. Well, yeah, because you'd like to punch me in the face.
Well, you know.
It may be a little too technical for them to arrange. I don't know that we'll go in that direction.
And I got to tell you, I love Kerwin's Joke of the Week.
Cool.
I watch it every time it comes up, and I always wanted to post one. But I'll give you one. I'm going to give you a freebie.
All right, here it comes.
Yep. What do you get when an elephant sits on a grape? A little wine.
I'll give you a big wine for that one, Dale.
Worth every penny we paid for that.
We'll hand that along to Kerwin. Thanks,
Dale.
Thank you, Dale. Okay, is this Louie? Hi, Louie. You have a quick question for Sven.
Hi, guys. Hi, Sven. Just curious, on those 1,000 action figures that were first issued, were they numbered?
No, I don't believe they were numbered like, you know, the perfect collector's editions would be. But anyone you get, just say it was the first one.
Thanks, Louie.
That's all I wanted to know.
All right, thanks, Louie. And one more real quick. Carrie's on the line. Carrie, Sven's here.
Hey, Rich. Obviously, ditto everybody, everything said. I'll watch you anytime you're on. 7's better for me because I'm 50. I'm getting old. 7 to 9 is better. But question for you. On your website, and I get the newsletter, of course, and on the website for Halloween appearances, it says more to come. You coming out west anywhere? I live in Sycamore, Illinois. And a couple of years ago, you went to San Jose Village at Zuzman Park. Anything you can divulge, or even like Great America Fright Fest or something?
I think that the furthest west we're going is probably Elgin at this point. Nightmare on Chicago Street, big event that they have every year. It's so much fun, and we're doing it again this year.
Well, that's close. Well, we'll see you there.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Carrie.
We'll look for you, Carrie.
You do a ton of Halloween appearances, obviously. Give a couple of highlights, what's coming up. And for people who don't hear the places they want to visit, your website will have the entire list. But
we haven't posted them all yet. That'll be coming up shortly.
Yeah.
For the first time, we're doing the Randolph Street Market, which is over on Washington right here in the city. It's a huge market, both outside and inside.
Yeah.
All sorts of great stuff, collectible stuff, antiques, clothing. And we're doing that this Sunday from 1 to 3, I believe.
That is correct.
So, and there is an admission charge just to get into it. But, you know, I will be signing and not signing like for the deaf, but I'll be signing autographs mm-hmm. and posing for pictures for free. And, wow, we got a lot of stuff this year. The Chicago Ghost Conference is going to mm-hmm. be in Lombard coming up. The Fantasy Costumes, famous costume place in Chicago. The Chicago Street Theater in Valparaiso, before they do a presentation of the musical Hair, They're having a Halloween party.
Friday
I will not be in hair, and I will not be taking off my clothes. Thank you.
Maybe that's for the better, Rich.
It probably is.
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
I love these Svengoolie fans. I mean, they're just adorable. Yeah. I'm sorry. They really are. We all love you.
That's so cool. And we'll be in Volo at the Auto Museum, which we do every year. And then later that night, we're actually going to be at the Rivers Casino for a Halloween party.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. That'll be fun. And you'll make a return, I hope, visit with us. You've done it the last three or four Halloweens, I think.
We're busy that day.
You are busy that day?
No.
How busy you are that day.
Oh, it's become a tradition.
Yes, I wasn't here last time. So.
That's right. You weren't here. By the way, you want a nickname?
Sure.
This will be perfect. It's so Chicago. Wendella.
I've had that nickname since I've been a little kid. My grandpa gave it to me.
How did I know?
So, actually, you're right. I do have a nickname. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Why, that's incredible.
Guys,
you're so good
to see you, both of you. And like we both said, we're in awe that they have finally recognized you with an action figure. That's fantastic. I know how exciting this is for you. So, congrats.
It is. And I really have to thank all the people out there who, bought them so quickly.
Very quickly.
My jaw dropped at that. But it's a big compliment to me, and I really thank people for doing that.
You deserve
it, Rich. It's Rich Coase. He is Svengoolie, and Jim Roach, who is the executive producer of Svengoolie Show.
Thanks for having
the
us.
New time is 7 o'clock on MeTV, so watch it. It's always great. Thanks, guys. Great
thank
to see you.
You guys are always so nice to have us in here.
Of course.
We always have a great time. Thank
good.
You.
Thank
good
you.
Good. Some news coming up next, and then more show with me and Wendy. She's smitten. It's WGN. Kim, thank you so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. If you would like to participate in the show, call us or text us at the same number, 312-981-7200. We're always happy to hear from you. There's a girl on Instagram, Wendy, whose name I'm not familiar with. And I'll be honest,
on Instagram?
No, I'm not on Instagram.
I am.
No.
I don't really do anything with it.
What are you supposed to do on it? Just post thoughts
pictures
and pictures
videos.
And things?
Not thoughts. It's
no
all
thoughts are allowed?
Pictures and video.
Oh.
I like it better than Facebook because it's not so crowded with so many ads and political things.
Yeah.
You just get to see pictures of your friends and what your friends are doing and celebrations.
Yeah.
I like it better.
Bill will say something right now. He'll go, who cares?
No, I don't. I wouldn't say that. But
I do, Bill.
But
can I tell you, I love it for this particular reason. My niece had a baby. And they named it Rock and Roll. No. Addie is 2 years old, and my niece is expecting another baby. So I see all these cute little videos of Addie that I wouldn't see.
No, that's good.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Like, my niece has 3 kids in Atlanta, and I can see all the pictures of her kids and what they're doing.
And videos.
And my kids who live out of town. It's
great.
Yeah,
it's valuable for that. The problem I have with any of these services is when people go to a restaurant and they get mac and cheese and they take a picture of it because I don't know what to do with that
information.
Not
a lot of that on Instagram. It's mostly people, right?
Oh,
when you say
better.
Kim?
Well, I do. I love to cook, so I do follow some food bloggers and stuff on Instagram, but that's my choice.
Right. If that's what your specialty is in life, if you love food, then that's a great thing. And I enjoy food, but it's just weird.
You don't like looking at it.
I like looking at it if it's mine and I know where it's going to end. I'm going to eat it soon. I go, well, that's what it looks like, and now I'll eat it.
I have to tell you, I was in New York City last month, and I went to this restaurant for brunch, and it's supposedly one of the most Instagrammed restaurants that there is, and it definitely lived up to the name. Everybody had their phones out. They were taking pictures of the food and the whole shebang. It was crazy.
Was it good?
Yes, it was definitely worth it. It was fantastic, but it was unbelievable.
That was such a part of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jim, Bill, you should subscribe to Jimmy Mack has this thing that he started doing, and he just takes a picture of his empty plate when he's finished eating.
Oh, that's better. I like that a lot better.
That's great. Does he leave the napkin on there?
Yep.
Kim, Wendy already knows this because I told her when this happened, but about 2 years ago, Terry and I went to a Cajun restaurant, one that we had been to many times, and there was a couple next to us, a guy and a girl, who looked to be about 30. And their food came, and it was just standard Cajun food. If you've ever seen Cajun food, it looked like every Cajun meal you've ever seen ever in your whole life. And as soon as their food came, they both stopped. They were in the middle of a conversation as if they had rehearsed it. They stopped their conversation, both pulled out their phones, both took pictures of their food, and then continued their conversation. Like, with nothing drawn to the fact that they stopped to take a picture of the food. And I just went, that's how it is now? Like, that's part of the meal is you just take a picture, post it to social media, and then everybody goes, oh, look, you had chicken. That's great. Whee, you had chicken. All right. Well, here's the reason I bring this up. This girl, Sophie Gray, is on Instagram. She's very, very popular on Instagram. She's a model. And what she does is she posts pictures of herself looking like a model, because she is a model. So she always looks great. You know, she's wearing, sometimes she wears more clothes than others, you know, but that's, if you subscribe to Sophie Gray's Instagram account, you're going to see a bunch of pictures of her wearing workout clothes or maybe a dress or shorts and a tank top, whatever. Whatever she's wearing, she throws it on there. And then people say, you look great, Sophie. Yay, everybody's happy, right? Well, she says from here on in, she will no longer be posting photographs of herself wearing bikinis, because she has come to learn that a lot of women who don't look as good as her are upset by this, because they see her looking great in a bikini and they say, oh, this isn't good for me. I don't look anywhere near as good as you. So Sophie, who's very, very conscious of this, says from here on in, I will not post any photographs of myself wearing a bikini. So as a result of this, what do you think has happened?
I really don't know, because I can't believe...
She has lost, in 2 days, 70,000 followers.
Oh, that's a given, yeah. That's what they went there for.
70,000 people who hung on her every photograph, who loved whatever she did, said, I don't want to see you if you're not wearing a bikini. Thanks, but no thanks. I'm out. What does that tell us? What can we learn from this?
Well, first of all, we can learn that people are pervs.
I don't want to say pervs, but I think if you're following, and I don't know anything else about Sophie Gray other than the fact that she's a model and posts pictures of herself on Instagram, but my guess is the majority of the people, and I shouldn't even say majority, because she has more, she still has plenty of people following her, over 200,000 people still follow her, over 300,000 people, but the number went from 430,000 to 360,000 in 2 days.
She's a model.
Right.
She should be posting pictures like that.
But you have to give her credit for being realistic enough to realize that it was upsetting some people who didn't look like her.
But then they don't have to follow
her.
Right,
they don't have to. Right, right.
Everybody's just, you know, do what you want on your own page.
I just like that people just, like, they just
That's
wrote her
I'm
off.
Done.
I'm not going to waste my time looking at her if she's not wearing a bikini. I got other things. I have only 24 hours in a day. I'm not going to waste a minute following this woman who's not wearing a bikini. I'm out.
I'm guessing they could find other women on Instagram in a bikini. What
do
you
think? Less, right?
Or less. Oh, for sure less. Because I have a lot of people that, you know, request to follow me, and I'm not, I always delete or decline, you know, decline them. But
yeah.
I'm not quite sure what they are. A lot of Russian names.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder why.
I don't know. I don't
know
how they found me.
You keep getting those requests on Facebook where you think they're not real.
Two or three times a week, I get a request from a girl who's...
Bragger.
Usually in her early 20s and is flawless looking. And we have no friends in common. And I know you... I think you said last time maybe these girls listen to the show. Maybe. It's possible. But about once or twice or three times a week, I get a friend request from some girl that I go... Who is, I don't know who this is. Do they think I'm Taylor Swift?
Yes, they do.
I bet they do.
Well, when Facebook first started, yeah. I collected friends like you collect action figures.
Yeah, the more the merrier.
Yeah, because you want to get that 5,000 limit. Well, then all of a sudden you realize you don't know people on your page and you can't add a family member because you're out of room.
Right. So you have to be a little more careful on who you let in.
And are you deleting people because of the political climate? Because I have been. I know you can hide what you see, like it won't come on your feed.
Yeah.
But there are some people that I just am torn so many times. It's like, you know, maybe someone I went to high school with that I liked, and yeah. It's like nice to reconnect.
Yeah.
But then they'll put something so mean and that I want to delete them.
Right.
My Facebook page is for fun only.
And have you or have you not? You have?
I've deleted quite a few people. I'm sorry, Bill.
I should have told you I was deleting you. It's better for me. Now I have more room to see what people are having for lunch and dinner. So this is better. There's only been a couple of extreme instances. I still have dead people on my Facebook page. There's still a couple of people who have passed away who I still have kept as friends because it's too finalizing to delete them.
Yeah, I can't let go of them either. I still have people on my contacts on my phone that have passed away that I... You know, I don't call the number. I'm not going to call the number.
See what happens. Because now I bet it's somebody else's number, right?
Yeah, it could be. Or someone else in the family. That's what I'm thinking, and
but
I don't
want
to.
When they say hello, just scream at the top of your lungs. That'd be great.
Can you hear me now? Up right. In heaven?
Right. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. If you'd like to jump in on this, we would love to hear from you. Our number is 312-981-7200. What do you make of this woman? She's a model. She says, I'm not posting any more bikini photos of myself on Instagram. And the result is 70,000 people said, sayonara, we're not interested in you if we can't see in a bikini. What does that say about us as a society? It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. Let me quickly catch you up if you're just joining us. Sophie Gray is a blogger. She's from Canada. She's also a model. For the past couple of years, she's had a blog site called Way of Gray. It's on Instagram, in which she wears, you know, the stuff that models wear. Sometimes models wear bikinis. She says, as of now, I'm not wearing any more bikinis. I'm done with that because women who don't look like me in a bikini feel bad when they see this on the internet. So in deference to them, I'm done with posting pictures of myself in a bikini.
It's just stupid, though, because people who are following her know what they're going to get, which explains what happened.
70,000 people who did follow her within a two-day span stopped following her. They don't want anything to do with her now because she's not going to be seen in a bikini. So why bother?
Well, John has a theory. Hi, John.
Hi, guys. Listen, it wasn't 70,000 people. It was 70,000 men.
That's a good point.
I can't find anything in the story that says how many of the 70,000 were men and how many were women, but I would think the numbers would skew more towards men, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Look what happened when Playboy decided a year or so ago, a little over a year ago, we're not going to put any more pictures of the naked ladies in Playboy magazine. We've come a long way. There's no reason for that.
That was the silliest thing they've ever decided.
They quickly changed their mind, remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
And his son.
Marsden.
That's his name?
Yeah. Wasn't it? I think it's Marsden.
I don't know. Hello? I just know that. Frank. We're having an argument.
I think it.
Okay, good.
This is the guy we had in studio?
Yeah. Was that Hugh Hefner's son's name? Boy, that's not ringing a bell, but he took control of the magazine and put the nudies back in.
Yep.
All right, Frank, what do you think about this woman on Instagram?
I don't think it's the men, the perverted men that have signed off because they're too busy doing other things. But I think it's the women that looked at her saying, you're being a snob, thinking you're so darn beautiful, and you're saying this to me. So screw you, I'm leaving.
Interesting. But do you think she is being snooty or snobby?
No.
By I don't know that she is. Is she?
Oh, I think she is. She says, I look so damn good, I'm making people jealous of me, so I'm not going to do it anymore. That's the definition of a snob.
But doesn't it mean that at some point she's been contacted by some women who have said, I don't look anything like you, and it's very hard for me to not look anything like you. I'd love to, but I can't.
That's when you go, stop following me.
I guess.
She's
right,
a model.
That's why they stop following her. There you go.
Yeah.
So there's 70,000 women of other men, they keep looking, just praying and hoping she changes her mind.
All right. Good point, maybe. Frank. Thank you.
Hugh Hefner has three sons, David, who's much older, and then two sons that are younger, Marsden and Cooper.
The
one who was in here. Right.
Marsden was ringing a bell, but not that I said that name out loud. I know you stalk the whole family. So.
Well, that's his middle name. So he named him.
He named
his son after his own middle name.
All right, and Rick has a final comment on the whole Instagram. What's her Instagram in case people want to follow her?
Her Instagram is Way of Gray. It's on Canadian Instagram, so account for the exchange rate, please, when you sign up for it.
Hi, Rick.
Hey. My thought is that I think this was a publicity ploy on her part to get more people to her blog, only it backfired.
Well, here's what happened. She lost 70,000 people immediately. Within 2 days, she lost 70,000 people. But then in the next couple days, she picked up 20,000 new followers. So in a way, I mean, it doesn't balance out yet, but it could end up balancing out more.
By the way, Bill, I have a cartoon you'd love based on your comments about people taking pictures of their food.
What is it?
There's two houseflies flying in the air side by side, and down below them is a woman walking her dog, and the dog has just left a pile. And one of the houseflies has taken his smartphone and taken a picture of the doggy pile, and the other guy's saying, do you always have to take a picture of your meal before you eat it?
That's really funny.
Hysterical. I love that. Thank you so much, Rick. Have a good week.
Call us tomorrow with another joke, okay?
You lost him.
I didn't mean to.
You offended him.
I didn't. No, I thought that was pretty funny.
It was very funny. All right. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back. We'll find out what Steve Bertrand has on today's Wintrust Business Lunch. Don't forget, at noon, you have two options. You can come to the stream where Wendy and I do an additional hour, the bonus hour, the stream of consciousness. We'd love to have you there. We talk about all the things we don't get to on this part of the show. Or you can stay right here. Steve Bertrand will be here with the Wintrust Business Lunch. And two options. You can't go wrong. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.